Will you open your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 27? I know you've been sitting a long time, and it's going to get worse. But it's too long for us to stand, read the whole thing, preach. So we're just going to turn to chapter 27 and begin working our way through it. The way this is going to happen, I think, is I will read it, making comments until we're pretty close to the end. Then we're going to go to our outline and fill it out very quickly. Okay? With the main points that I hope are helpful. You know, we just finished our series in Revelation. And why am I in Jeremiah? Devotionally, we have been in Jeremiah. And as I worked through it devotionally, I just said, wow, that would be a great thing to preach. That would be a good thing for us to get into. Oh, that would be good. So there's a few things in a row that I think we're going to cover in the weeks to come. And I actually went to chapter 29. I wanted to work on that, but then I backed up a little bit to get the context, backed up a little further to get further context, and I landed here in 27 and thought we better cover some of this. What I would like to see happen is for God to do a whole bunch of stuff, but one of them being also that it would encourage you to be reading on your own and not be discouraged when you get to Old Testament passages that are a little foggy. Remember, P-H-O-G, foggy? Passages that we have to approach, like Revelation, prayerfully, humbly, openly, P-H-O-G, prayerfully, humbly, openly, and graciously toward others who disagree with us. But we really have to go in with the right heart attitude. A lot of the Old Testament prophets, you can get bogged down in them. And I just hope that today, once again, is helpful. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 27. I've got a map up above that I want to show you first. I'm sure you can't read any of that. So the thrust of the first map would be, I just wanted to talk for a moment about after Solomon's kingdom, the United Kingdom. The kingdom is divided, right? The north shoots up there north, the northern kingdom of Israel, and then the southern kingdom of Judah. That's where Jerusalem is, just the tribe of Judah. And then this map shows some of the exiles that take place because God's people have been faithful. Israel first is exiled. Assyria has now, Assyria comes and takes over the inhabited world of that area, okay? And the way to remember this, I think, is helpful. See if I can use my little gizmo here. Remember Assyria, ABC. Assyria is first. And so Assyria comes into power. That's who God uses to carry the Israelites, the northern kingdom, into exile. Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon comes. So Babylon's next, B. And that we're going to see right here. Babylon, and forgive my horrible printing, but this is what's going on right there. And right here we have Jeremiah. Okay, I'm going to show you that actually in a moment. And then here we have Persia, but who's the king of Persia that God uses to bring the people back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple? Cyrus of Persia. So ABC, that's just a simple way to start thinking a little bit about, you know, who captured who and who is God talking about here with these prophets. So that's a simple way to do it. Here's a blown up portion of the area that we want to sort of pay attention to today. This portion of Jeremiah. Do you see Jeremiah down there? Right here, Jeremiah, Babylon, the Babylonian captivity here is 587 BC. Jeremiah is prophesying what you're going to see in the text today. There is an initial carrying off of King Jehoiakim, and Daniel would have been among this group that we're going to read about of the upper crust of the people were carried off first. See, a king that when Nebuchadnezzar took over a country, it's much easier for him if the country just submits. You know, that's one way to just get along better, and you're going to see it. This is actually what God wants his people to do, is just submit to the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to go through this. So you might as well endure it and enjoy it as best as possible, because it's going to happen, because you're going to get punished. You're going to have to live through this disciplinary action. And so Daniel, as you remember, and you can read this, a lot of this will overlap 2 Kings. The end of 2 Kings explains exactly what happened here in a historical narrative. It'll tell you everything that happened. Okay? And so this is what's going on. I think that probably is going to have to suffice for today because of time. And so let's just kind of sit on that as we work our way through the text. Chapter 27, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah. So what the king would do, ideal world, Nebuchadnezzar would come, say, I have conquered everybody. You're not going to be able to stand up against me. You might as well give up. And he'll take your king, Jehoiakim, take him north, and appoint a governor, Zedekiah, to be the king now for a short period of time. He leaves the poor people in the land, because you know what happens to a farm or a home when you leave it abandoned for even a year? It just disintegrates. And so that's the way it would go best for everybody, unless you think you can fight against Nebuchadnezzar. Now the problem with that is, if you're one of God's children, and someone's threatening your nation, I mean, you know the story of David and Goliath, right? It'd be pretty hard to say, hey, wait a minute, we're God's people, you're a pagan, you're a brutal oppressor, we, regardless of our size, can stand up against you. So that's going on in people's minds, and that's understandable. And then Jeremiah comes along and says, well, you'll see what he says. Okay. So Zedekiah, that's what's going on here, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourself bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. So picture, he takes a couple pieces of wood and he ties them together with ropes and he puts them around his neck like you would an oxen, a beast of burden. Put this yoke on, because you're going to serve Nebuchadnezzar. So do that. And send word to the king of Edom, verse 3, the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now, at this point, if you're reading through the Old Testament and you're on a time crunch, you're probably just, I can't even pronounce those names, so let's just keep going. That's really important stuff. If you look at a map of the Old Testament, you'll see south, east, of Judah and Jerusalem, look to the south, Edom, look to the middle, Moab, look up here, Ammon, and then Tyre and Sidon are cities along the Mediterranean Sea straight north of them. These are the surrounding countries. Why would they be coming to Jerusalem to talk to Zedekiah? Because Nebuchadnezzar is saying the same thing to them. I'm going to take over. Submit to me or suffer for it. They're all banding together. How can we not have that happen? How can we fight against Nebuchadnezzar? We can join forces. And God says, Jeremiah, put these yokes on your shoulders. Give them a yoke. Send them back to their country with this message. Verse 4, command them to go to their master, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I... Now watch when you're reading for who God is. This is one of the kids. He's more powerful than anybody. That's the truth. I have made the earth, the men, the beasts, which are on the face of the earth, by my great power, by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. And yes, right now, Nebuchadnezzar is the man.